know you're broken hearted, cause the piece you're hoping for is off a
sale. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to We Love No Other podcast from IlliniBoard.com. Right to it, because we already started the phone call and I need to know. My guest tonight is Bob Zupke. You know him as Bob Zupke. His real name isn't Bob Zupke, but you know him as Bob Zupke. Bob, I did not watch any ounce of anything with Purdue and Wisconsin because I just can't watch a game that doesn't include us. I just get angry at both ends of the floor and I don't care. So we are now live on the air. You're going to tell me what happened. All I know is the final score.
Man, so I wasn't watching for 95% of it and turned it on when I saw that it was close.
Okay, let's actually pause there. Same reason, like you just don't, like I hate them and I hate them.
Yeah.
And why would I do something? Oh, I hate that. Oh, I hate that thing. I hate that thing that happened.
Exactly. Yes. It's too, and it's just too, it's like all of the bad of watching Illinois with like the refereeing and all of that without like any joy really at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just a miserable experience. Mm-hmm. If Wisconsin wins, I don't want to see it. If Purdue wins, I still don't really want to see it, but I want to. I mean, I'd obviously be happier then, but yeah, I avoided it. I'm in a better mood whenever I avoid it, but I turned it on with a few minutes left, which turned out to be a mistake.
All I did was I set 10:15 as the time. My phone was run down, and since we're recording this through my phone, I'm like, oh, I gotta hook my phone to the thing. It can't be on the charger. I better charge it. So at like 8:15. Let's see, I looked at the score, and I feel like Wisconsin was up 3, maybe? Doesn't matter. I put my phone on the charger in the other room and went and watched some true crime documentary with my wife. She went to bed at 10. I'm like, I'm not looking at my phone yet. I piddled around. I got the podcast thing set up. I did this. 10:15 comes. I look, and it's a 3-point game with whatever left. And then that's all I know is that I'm like, okay, I'm not looking again. So I put my phone down. I go do other things. I look 10 minutes later and I see the final score. So
yeah,
fill me in.
All right. So I turned it on and it was Wisconsin ball. They were up 1. I don't even know how much time left. I mean, a couple minutes left, probably less than 2 minutes left, honestly.
Okay.
Actually, it was definitely less than 2 minutes left.
I'm going to go ahead and guess a bad foul put them on the line.
No,
they didn't get the call.
Wisconsin is down. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. Wisconsin's up 1. They've got the ball. Johnny Davis leans. I mean, almost falls down with his foot on the foot. Turns out, foot on the 3-point line. Banks in a shot from the top of the key. Originally ruled a 3. Refs reviewed, ruled a 2. So. This is literally with seconds left. Now it's like kind of coming back to me. I feel like I blacked it out for a second, but this is less than a minute. Johnny Davis
freaking
hits the
bank. It's always a bank. It's always a bank.
Hits a bank shot. Stupid. To go up 3. Purdue runs down, gets the ball to Zach Edey immediately. He basically does that like turnaround baby hook, leaves it short. Wisconsin rebound.
Wait, they
foul,
go to Edey, so he hit the 3. So they were losing when he banked this.
No. So it was Wisconsin was up 1.
Okay.
Davis hits a 2, like a falling down 2 with his foot on the 3-point line.
Got it.
And banks it in.
Okay.
So they're up 3. They Purdue goes to Edey, quick turnaround baby hook, leaves it short, rebound Wisconsin. So they're up 3. They foul Brad Davison. So it's 1-1 on the other side.
Okay, now I got to ask this question because I'm just trying to picture this. Why are they going? They were down 3 under a minute and they went for a 2?
They went for a 2. Yeah. And I mean, I think it was just.
It was over 30 seconds left, I'm guessing.
No. So this was under. So this is what's bringing me back to like with the time on the clock. And I was totally off at first, but I was trying to not pay attention, and I had it muted and all that kind of stuff.
I'm putting you on the spot here. I understand.
You are.
Do this from memory after a traumatic
experience.
I'm trying
to not think about it, and I was trying to do other things and look at it out of the corner of my eye. So Davison misses the front end of the 1-1, and Purdue gets the rebound. So now they're down 3. And I'm probably going to screw something up in this, but they come down. Jaden Ivey hits a 3 with 10 seconds left, 15 seconds left to tie it up.
We're tied.
10 seconds left.
Okay.
Wisconsin does not call a timeout, does not set up a play. They come down and, you know, Purdue just needs to stop to send it into overtime.
Don't say Brad Davidson.
Who's the freshman?
Chucky. Oh, God.
Chucky basically step back, bomb three, banks that in as well.
Shut up.
Swear to God.
Shut up.
I swear to God.
This could not. I'm sitting here thinking about how this played out. I'm sitting here thinking, oh, must have been a, Wisconsin, a foul. They go to the line, freaking Davidson, whatever. Two bank
shots in under, I would say, in the last minute.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is the greatest decision I've ever made in the history of this podcast. is to not look up what happened and have you tell me.
Yeah. Yeah. It was,
Come
legitimately at that point, just like crumpled. I'm just like, you got to be kidding.
Okay, so I write an article today saying, let's not maybe call it luck, but let's just face the fact that Wisconsin might be having the luckiest season in Big Ten history, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then they bank in two shots to win the Big Ten title.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, Davis, so,
oh, my God.
The one to win the game, I mean, was not even close. It was not, I mean, not even close.
Yes, it's an air ball in any other, yes.
Yeah. Davis is at least was head on.
Yeah.
The one to win the game was, like, almost from the corner. And so, I mean, he had missed it badly, and it dropped.
I mean, I was not ready for that. I was not. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I feel like you need to watch the replay now at some point. It's unbelievable.
Oh my God. It's just so freaking Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why does the world work like this?
I don't know how Greg Gard doesn't win National Coach of the Year.
He has to.
Yeah.
And yet you replay this season. I'm not even joking. You replay this season, same everything. Everybody shoots the same percentage. Wisconsin makes the same number of shots. You just switch things around from this game to that game and this to here, and that situation doesn't go right or what. This is Northwestern 2018 football, where they're basically a 5-7 team that won the Big Ten West because a bunch of crazy crap happened. And they end up winning games they had like a 2% chance of winning.
Yep.
And they're dancing around like, oh my God, no, you're not good. You just got really fortunate. And then they go 3-9 in 2019 and prove that they weren't that good. They didn't have much talent, but everything went right. Same with Indiana 2020. Oh my God.
Yep. I mean, I've been predicting the downfall of Wisconsin football and basketball for years, though, and they just continue winning. And so I'm just done doing it.
Here's what I have to do. This is going to be on me. This is my responsibility. I think I've told you this story before. I don't know. I'm just going to tell the story. Freshman year. So this is 92. This is the night of the Leitner shot. I was on Wisconsin's campus. I am talking to a Wisconsin student. He's like a junior at Wisconsin. We're talking Illinois and Wisconsin football and basketball, and he makes this prediction to me that night, the night of the Leitner shot against Kentucky. He says, mark it down right now, Wisconsin football and basketball are going to win Big Ten titles and will be in the, I think he said top 10, might have said top 5, in the next few years. And I'm like, it's like standing with Kansas football fan. It's like, they hadn't been to a bowl they'd been to three bowls in 30 years, but hadn't been to one since like 83 or something like this. And this is 92. So they were basically Kansas football. And basketball wise, they hadn't been to the NCAA tournament since 1949. So that they were basically Northwestern basketball until they went to their one tournament. They were that's who Wisconsin was. What the moment the Leitner shot fell, 50 years of absolute empty crowds. They had that old little gym and nobody cared because nobody went. They were just bad at everything. And so for him to tell me that, I laughed and laughed and laughed. Like, dude, you're like telling me that Oregon State basketball, or, you know, okay, Washington State basketball and Kansas football will win multiple times. You know, it's just, it's so outlandish for him to tell me this. And he was freaking right. And it's 30 years later, he's still right. So what I'm going to have to do, I have to find him, right? Like, this has to be my summer project, is is go advertise in papers and find this guy that was a student at Wisconsin in 1992 and somehow... He somehow willed them to be good, and once I find him, I will break that curse, and they'll finally be bad again. I just can't believe. They were picked 10th in the – I looked that up the other day. Picked 10th in the preseason poll.
And, I think if you looked
at least a share now.
I think if you looked at the roster, I still don't know.
Yep.
I mean, I would maybe take – I mean, I would take the roster over – I don't know.
I would probably take Penn State's roster over theirs before the season.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dread would be, I would say, better than
maybe eight
anybody.
Or nine.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And they're going to win
in terms of roster.
Freaking
Big
Ten.
And they're going to win the Big Ten. And they're going to win it outright. I mean, that's just insane.
Oh, my God. Two banked. Oh, I just.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
it's just so wrong. This is the universe isn't fair moment. It's just so, oh my God. I cannot believe. I'm so glad I said, you know. I'm so glad I set it up like this. Okay, we need to talk about it. Yeah. I can't talk about that any longer. I just can't do it.
One more thing on that though. Purdue is now 13-6 in conference.
Yeah, what?
And yeah, I mean that is historic level underperformance there, in my opinion.
Number one for the first time in school history.
Yep.
And they could lose to Indiana at home, a desperate Indiana trying to get off the bubble.
Yeah.
They could lose to Indiana at home, who they already lost to, and finish 13-7.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, that's pathetic. We lost him twice. And yeah, I mean, I never felt like we had control of either game at any point. Like, I felt like we had to scratch and claw to get it to overtime.
Yep.
And then obviously on the road, it was destruction.
Yep. Oh my gosh. It's just, I wish people would. So that means, let's see, what was the stat? They were 14-1 in close, so now they're 15-1 in close games. I believe that's the, I was just looking all this up today when I was writing the article. I believe that's the record. No one has
probably right
ever won. Yeah. I think it ties the record of most wins 6 points or less, because you're just going to lose some. You're just, it just happens. Games are close and freaking bank threes go in, and it happens.
Yeah.
It just, I think this is a record for close wins in a season, which means maybe luckiest team in the history of college basketball.
I mean, I believe it. And I remember watching after the Illinois-Wisconsin game, one of the Big Ten studio analysts said something along the lines of, like, Illinois doesn't go to Wisconsin that year, but Wisconsin will take it. They're fine with that. Get Illinois out of the way. Be done with it. And at the time, I remember thinking, like, that seems like, you know, that wouldn't be the case because, you know, you got all these tiebreakers and you got everything else and you want another crack at them at home. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I legitimately believe that I think Illinois would have beat them at whole.
Yeah.
I mean,
what did Kofi have? 37 and 17? What was it?
Yeah. Yeah. That felt like a game where if we played 100 times, we win it 90 times.
Yes.
Even on a neutral court. I mean, it just didn't even feel like it was two close teams.
Yep.
But here we are.
It's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
So I ran that stat a few weeks ago where, like, you know, Illinois' average margin of victory was like 5.9 and Purdue's was 6.1 and Wisconsin's was like 1.7 in Big Ten games. So, and then they beat Rutgers. What was that final score? When they won at Rutgers on Saturday.
They won. It was, they won by five.
Okay. So then they win a game by five. Win a game by
three.
Did Purdue, was there time left after Chucky?
1.4 seconds. No, so they threw it length of the court and it was intercepted by Wisconsin.
By the way, did you see that shot by the freshman from Miami? Was it Miami? No, Florida State. Florida State freshman that won the game the other day.
I did not.
Okay. It's the new nightmare for my brain. So I've told this story a dozen times. In the famous bragging rights game when we lost in triple overtime in 93, we led by 9 with a minute to go. And Mizzou hit, I think, 5 consecutive threes. So it was just they hit a 3 to cut it to 6. They foul. We hit both. They hit a 3 to cut it to 5. They foul. We only hit 1. They hit a 3 to cut it to 3. You know, it was just that kind of thing. And then they hit a 3 to force overtime.
Yep.
And so that was this benchmark in my mind for, it still exists. Like, we'll be in a game. It'll be 10 with a minute to go. And I'm like, okay, we've got this. If it's 9, even if it's like a not even close game, the other team's not even planning to foul. In my mind, I always have that Illinois-Mizzou 93. It went to overtime because we blew a 9-point lead with a minute to go. So I just always have that number in my head. So with this one, there was 1.0 seconds left. I think the game was tied. No, Florida State was losing. Was it Florida State? I think it wasn't Miami. It was Florida State. Anyway, they throw, they kind of throw a football pass to where the guy's not standing down there like Leitner trying to grab the three-quarter length toss. He's more like starting on the other side of the court, and then they're throwing it kind of over his shoulder, deep pass.
Yeah.
And he's tall and lanky, and so he kind of in one motion goes up to grab it and then spins and throws, swish, and they win with 1.0. And he hit it right from the wing, like right where the three-point line is. Like, they threw it to the opposite side of the court, but like the Andy Kaufman spot. Like, it was a normal three-pointer, but they did it with kind of a football, like, all right, we're going to fake the short route and get the corner to bite, and then we're going to, you know, toss it over his head, and hopefully nobody's there to come up to, you know, there's no safety coverage. And, you know, and so he just kind of caught it, spun in one motion, and shot. So now, if I'm a Wisconsin fan tonight, heaven forbid, if I'm a Wisconsin fan tonight, and what did you say Purdue had 1 point, what?
It was like 1.4 or something like that.
I'm still thinking about that play of like, okay,
oh, yeah,
it's probably over, probably completely over, but there was that one play.
Yeah.
So I just, my brain just comes up with nightmare scenarios. Like, it just is constantly looking for what can I worry about while watching an Illinois game next. And so now a full three-quarter length toss in a football pass over some guy's shoulder to hit a three to beat us is now, you know,
the new Keywon free throw situation for you.
Exactly. Which I'd like to remind everyone that Norm Stewart walked past half court to yell at a freshman, miss it, miss it, miss it. I want the entire world to remember that about Storm and Norman, but I'm not bitter. We need to move on. We need to talk about other things. We need to talk about the University of Illinois basketball team. We even need to talk a little bit about the University of Illinois football team. So let's go here. If I had to, okay, I'll just put this to you. Three questions. What do we do this week? You got to answer these quickly. What do we do this week? What do we do in the Big Ten tournament? And what seed do we get? What's your thought? Do we go 2-0 this week?
2-0 this week.
Okay.
Championship game of the Big Ten tournament. Okay. 3 seed.
All right. I like it. I like it. I like it. So you're saying championship game, so possibly lose to like Purdue in the title game or something?
Yeah, I think That would be like my guess. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't know who it'll be. I just see it like a, yeah, we got close. We didn't win it. We won it last year.
But that gets us up to a three.
I think that gets us up to a three.
Yep. Yep. I think we're probably, you know, I've seen things that have a seed line where it has us 13th or 14th or 15th. I think that's probably where we are right now, given that the committee said we were 12th, you know, and then we lost the Ohio State game. So I think we're on the upper part of the four line right now, and we need to do some things to get that three. And we need, like, Texas Tech to lose a couple games, or we need Tennessee to lose a couple games. We need a little bit of help. I just want to get on that three line, because I don't want anything else.
I don't want a one.
Okay,
yeah,
the worst case scenario is probably a 1-1 week, and then a loss on Friday to whoever we would play. So that's probably an absolute worst case scenario. So in that instance, we only have one more win, so we would be 21-10. Yes, we'd be 21-10.
Yeah.
What do you think that is?
Like a
five?
Six or seven.
Really? You think we could drop to a seven?
I mean, that would be maybe worst case scenario.
Yeah. Now that, I guess worst case scenario would be losing to Penn State, which we're not going to lose to Penn State at home.
Yeah.
Unless they bank in.
So, I mean, I guess realistically, it's hard. I never know how to weigh the conference tournament, especially like an early exit from the conference tournament. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, sometimes the committee will come out and say, like, oh, we did this on Saturday morning. We actually didn't watch those two games. We already had them seated. So, you know, we're like, oh, my God, we need this to get to two or whatever. Like, we'd gone to dinner by that point. So
I just always question that. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm not giving him enough credit. Yeah. I do think, like, sometimes I'm like, oh, it's a tournament. It's stuff happens.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah. I guess, where do you think? How low do you think we could drop?
I feel like, I mean, again, I'm saying there's no way we're losing to Penn State. So I feel like our floor is about. Yeah. So the thing that boosts me, and the reason I think our floor is a five, is because the committee did the thing where they's like, you know, when they seated us 12th 2 weeks ago or whenever that was, they the only logical way that made sense, just looking at, you know, they put us in front of Wisconsin. Wisconsin at the time had like eight quad one wins, and we had five or something. The only way they could do that based on their own criteria that they come out and tell you how they seed is if they looked at Marquette and they looked at Maryland and they said, look, Kofi didn't play in these five games. Capello didn't play in all these games. They're better than we think. They're better than, you know, their record shows. We can't penalize them for missing a player, you know, for Kofi have a concussion and all these injuries they've had. And, you know, they do have those stats in front of them of how many players have missed game for the injury. And they said they debated that for both Houston and Illinois because of their injuries. And so, like, you know, if that's the case, then I feel like what I'm thinking is going to be, oh, like maybe we fall to a six. The committee is going to be like, no, I don't count these two games as losses anyway. So really they only have six losses. So let's put them on the four line or whatever. So that's why I feel like the floor here with a 1-2 finish, the floor would be a five, and the ceiling is probably a three. I think if we win out and win the Big Ten tournament, I don't think we can get to the two line.
Yeah, I think that's probably right.
Yeah, it's just not there this year. But but yeah, so I mean, guess Michigan
with that.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was gonna ask, like, with that, if Illinois does win out here, what are your overall sort of thoughts on the season? Assuming we go 2-0, and we end up, you know,
my thoughts on
we don't have to go there yet.
Yeah, yeah. My thoughts on 15-5. And 22-8 overall.
Yeah.
My thoughts are, um, at the Cincinnati game, just sitting there watching. I went to Kansas City and God, when I saw you like the day before that, right?
Iowa.
2 days before that, yes. So like when we were having that conversation at Iowa, thinking about the Cincinnati game, you know, we were so supremely confident. So that Cincinnati loss was this massive, like, oh my God, like, wait, Kofi's back and we look like this? Like, what? You know, so that knocked me so far down that I didn't recover until maybe, I don't know, Michigan State. You know, it took me forever to recover from, wait, we didn't just lose Marquette because of Kofi. We have some issues here, and we have injury issues, and Curbelo's not right, and we don't know how long he's going to be out. And then, you know, UTRGV, we're tied with 3 minutes to go. And, you know, so I readjusted, changed what my expectations were. And then this whole season, I've been fighting to get that back. So if we do go 15-5 in the Big Ten with 7 road wins, I'm pretty much all the way back to this was, especially with all the injuries, this was excellent work. Because when we lost to Marquette and Cincinnati and Arizona, you know, at that point it was like, wow, I would have never thought we'd have 3 losses by whatever that was, December 8th. And so to... If you do go 15-5 in the Big Ten and you do get a 3 seed or you win the Big Ten tournament, it's really a really, really impressive rebound.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd be super happy with, you know, I think Tyler in our preview that we wrote put 15-5 as his expectation in the Big Ten. And I was like, man, like that feels like me, the rosy eyed Illinois football fan saying, I think we can go 7-5. And I was like, okay. You don't watch how much goes to a right for Illinois football to win 7 regular season games. So, you know, 15-5 just seemed pie in the sky after 16-4, but it's right there with 2 home games, the last one being, you know, Trent senior night. So
I've
just gone on this crazy roller coaster this year. Of, you know, some of the losses were so hard to understand. Like Rutgers was so just being there. That, and it's one of the reasons I don't go to like get interviews or anything else. Like for what I write and the way I write, being there is like 80% of everything for me. I can just feel it, sense it, you know, everything else. And just the whole vibe of that night. And I'm sure people on TV felt the same way. Like, you know, I'm in New Jersey and I'm around a bunch of Jersey fans and this and that, and, you know, just think through your Jersey stuff. And it's like, I had this thought at one point when we just were giving no, like there was a, I've mentioned this several times. There was an offensive rebound bounced away. Two Illinois players just kind of looked at each other and the Rutgers guy went and got it. I had this like, are we on the take or something? Like did some Atlantic City mob boss come up and pay it? Like what is happening? I've never seen this entire season. Game's over. You go get the rebound. You know.
Yeah.
Like is the entire team sick? Did everyone catch something? Like somebody tell me what's happening right now? Because this isn't the team we've seen every other game. So I've had this roller coaster up and down. And are we good? And are we not? And you know we've all walked it, but. You know, these 2 wins in Michigan were big for me of, gosh, we can still go on the road and, you know, Michigan is giving their all and look what they did tonight and everything else. And we can do all of that and, you know.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it still feels like we haven't actually like hit our ceiling with this team.
I think you're right.
You know?
Yep.
Like it almost feels like, because I was thinking about this the other day, but you know, this saying like the whole is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yep.
What is the opposite of that saying? Because it sort of feels like that thus far. But I mean, really, if you take it one by one, I mean, we've got the most dominant big man in Illinois history. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
We have. someone who Illinois fans say is best defender in the nation or top five defender in the nation, mm-hmm. you know, fifth year senior, mm-hmm. probably a top 30, top 40 Illinois player of all time, mm-hmm. I would say. Mm-hmm. We have the oldest starting lineup in Illinois basketball history, most experienced yes. Illinois starting lineup in basketball, Illinois basketball history. We arguably have the greatest shooter in Illinois history.
Yes. God, that's so hard. That's so hard. Like, you know, because you can bring up players hard. Who are like, oh, this guy shot 47% and he's only shooting 43% or whatever. But, you know, he'll go 1-for-13 across those four games and then all of a sudden 14-for-19. It's just insane.
And I'll give you even just say he's top five, top 10.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
And then that doesn't even factor in your preseason All Big Ten point guard who's coming off the bench.
Yep.
God, and so you've got all of that.
That is so good. Let's come up with what the opposite would be. So some of the parts.
I mean, and it just feels like you've got all that stuff, and you've got Illinois fans on social media saying Kofi should be player of the year.
Yep.
Kofi should be Big Ten player of the year. Some people saying he should be national player of the year.
Yeah.
You've got people saying Trent Frazier is the best defender in the nation. And he's the, you know, all this other stuff. You've got, you know, Curbelo is the most dynamic point guard, blah, blah, blah. I know he hasn't been right. All of that kind of stuff. You got people saying Plummer's the best shooter in the nation.
Yeah.
And seriously saying this stuff. And yet we're 20-8.
Yeah.
And so, and I know there are injuries.
Yeah.
I know that there are, you know, I know Kofi was out. Yep. Curbelo hasn't been right. Yep. I get all of that. But at the end of the day,
they were all there for Cincinnati, and it was 71-51.
Yeah. And we're looking at, and they were all there for Rutgers.
Yep.
Like, they were there for Ohio State.
Yep.
And Ohio State just lost to Nebraska tonight at home.
Yep. Huh.
And lost at Maryland. I mean, it's just, I don't understand it. And that's why whenever I think about this team come tournament time, I could see them bowing out in the round of 32, and I could see them making the Final Four.
Yep.
And neither of those scenarios would surprise me.
Yep. It's like during the Michigan game, especially when like the big thing about Michigan that you know brought back the resolve I kept losing with Ohio State and with Rutgers was like the way it all played out of, okay, first half, just lights out from three. The crowd's like, dear God, are they ever going to miss, you know? And then you come out in the second half, and it's like, look, you want to know what else we have? We got a dominant big man who's better than Dickinson, and we got a guy who can get to the rim who really hasn't played all year. And he's going to get to the rim three times, and the other guy is going to shoot whatever he was, 7-for-9 in the second half. And we're just going to take you apart that way. And so when that happened, it's like, okay, wait, we're not the one-dimensional team of Maryland loss where, oh, Kofi's out? Well, we're done. We're screwed. Right, forget it, you know.
Yep.
Now we have other things, and Hawkins is playing better, and Bello keeps getting back to March 2021 Bello. And so as all those things started to come together, it's like, okay, wait, I think we're just starting to see the glimpses. But you're right. It could be like, okay, that's a team that could go deep. And then the next day on Twitter, everybody's like, ooh, trendy Final Four pick is going to be Illinois and blah, blah, blah. And I can also absolutely see us in a 4-13 game with the 13 playing really hard and us having the Rutgers or Ohio State look where it's like,
yeah,
we were leading, but then this 21-3 run just came out of nowhere. So,
and those are the keys. Where do those runs come from?
Right.
I mean, if you look at the runs against us, there have been like three or four of those that have just been like 18-2 or 21-3 or whatever, you know, whatever they are.
28-5.
Yeah.
Like just think, I always tell people, like, think if the game started like that. If it was 28-5 to start the game, we're all screaming like we were the Alabama NIT game, which was 41-12, like 15 minutes in. That's still the most stunned I've ever, like, 41-12. Not only will we blow it and fall off the bubble in the final week, we go in the NIT and we're suddenly down 41-12 to a bad team that had like two injured players. I digress. I won't go there. But yes, you're right. It feels like we could, like from a writer's perspective, you know, when I'm writing articles about a game, I feel like I can, you know, Ohio State felt like I was riding a level 8.5 loss out of 10. And Michigan felt like I was writing a 7 win out of 10. And, yeah. You know, same thing. Rutgers felt like a, you know, at least a 7 on the painful loss scale. And then Michigan State felt like an 8. So it's just so weird how I can be like, okay, now I can settle into this. Like, look, we just aren't that good. And then the next game, you know what? We could be so freaking good.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, and we're due to be that team that gets hot in the NCAA tournament. I mean, we are just due.
Right. Okay, see, like, here's the thing. This is what my brain goes. Like, see, I just got angry again. Why does Wisconsin get to be the team that when they do have that off game, they beat Penn State 51-49? Like, that's just not fair, right? It's not fair.
Yeah, like, and ours just comes against Western Kentucky in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah. See, I've always... I thought about including this in what I wrote today. So what I was writing today is like, okay, here's what goes into that luck thing in KenPom, and here's why Wisconsin and Providence, you know, you can get really good value right now that nobody thinks they're going to win in the tournament or even go deep because, you know, they've been kind of riding this win a game by one, win a game by three thing. And so as I was going through this, later, after it was done, like, I considered, like, amending to add this. this is going to be totally out of left field. Did you ever, as a child, have you ever, maybe it was, like, in your grade school or, like, at a doctor's office, it was one of those labyrinth games where there was a little metal ball that you had to roll around? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think it's almost like a maze.
Correct. It's a maze you have to work through, but but you have to tilt it this way or it's going to fall in that hole, right?
Yep.
And I was the thought that occurred to me was I always remember it like this. So I would get really nervous. This is why I'm a horrible golfer. This is why I would be horrific at the line with a 1-1 with 14 seconds left. I melt under pressure like nobody else. So my sister and I would compete. We had, like, my dad's office had two of these, and then we would, like, after they got rid of them, like, we brought them home, and so we would, like, compete on these labyrinth things. And one had numbered holes, like 1 to 50. I swear to God, if I'm at 47 and there's three pretty easy moves left, I'm dropping in one of those holes. It just happens, okay? Right? Like, I just fold. It's just who I am, okay? But when I would complete it, it was always this, like I have no business being in the 30s right now. I should, like, it's like when you're putting really good on a golf course and you, like, lip 7 putts in, and it's like, I really shot a 47 on the front nine there, but it was a 40 because I hit a pin on a chip. Like, I got really lucky. But that kind of roll, for whatever it was, for me, the guy who would fold, those are the runs that I would finish. For whatever reason, like, if I get on this roll of, like, I don't deserve to be here, I really don't deserve to be here, then I'm loose and I'm relaxed and I finish it and I get to 50 and I beat my sister at whatever little competition we're having. So in my mind, like that's Wisconsin this year to me, that they know they're on this stupid thing. Gosh, the Banks even play into this. And so it's just like, we should be 8-8 right now. Are you kidding me? What we're 13, 14 wins in the Big Ten? You kidding? You think you can hurt me? You can't hurt me. I'll bank in 2 threes to win.
Yeah, but, I mean, they're playing with house money.
Yes.
Basically.
Yes. Yes. A much easier analogy than the labyrinth I'm trying to describe when I was a kid. But yeah, there's just something about, like, look, I don't deserve to have gotten this far. That just puts you at ease and like, you know what, let's keep going, let's see how far this will go, you know. And those were the times I would not get nervous and complete the task. So I guess what I'm saying is, okay, well, how do we get this into this team, build some like, I want, okay, last year, look, we are rolling, right? Like, we are absolutely rolling. We had just done the at Wisconsin, at Michigan, at Ohio State finish to the season. Then we go to Indy. We roll through. We win the Big Ten tournament. Like, if you remember, we moved to number two in the polls, and Baylor fell to number three. So the team that had been number two to Gonzaga's one for most of the season, they dropped down a spot because, oh, damn, Illinois is so good. Baylor should be three, and Illinois should be two. So we are on this absolute roll, and then Loyola. So that obviously puts my brain into, okay, how do we do the opposite? Like, how do we get this team in the right mindset of loose, easy, no pressure? Like let's put all this together that we have and go. You know, sometimes I almost think, do I want a loss? Like, I maybe prefer a loss on Sunday. Like, okay, we lose to whoever in the Big Ten title, and then maybe we're playing a little different in the first two rounds or something like that. I don't know what the answer is, but I just want something different than last year, I think, is my overall point.
No, I agree. I mean, I think my dad used to just always say, like, if you get in enough times, sometime you're going to get lucky. Or sometime, like, Illinois will be that team that's the seven and, you know, is Elite Eight or whatever. But then I think don't we have one win over a higher seeded team, and it was like in 8-9. Oh, do we have two now?
Yeah.
I remember the 8-9 game in 2011.
Yeah, the UNLV 8-9 game, but then also the 4-5 game. Was it Cincinnati? I think Cincinnati was the Darren Too Pretty game. I think Cincinnati was the 4.
Oh, okay.
We were the 5.
Okay, yeah. And then we got Duke after that.
But yes, our only two are a 5 or a 4 and a 9 over an 8.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it's just like, when is that going to happen for us, you know?
Yep. We had it one in 2007 when we were a 12 and Virginia Tech was a 5, and we were up by 11 with 6 minutes to go, but we're not going to go there.
Well, then there's the Illinois rule against Miami.
Yep.
And so it's been close, but I mean, it just feels like that's got to be, yeah. I mean, I understand why pundits and people are high on us in the tournament, because whenever you look at the way that our team is built, I mean, the teams that make tournament runs are experienced. They can hit threes, but they don't have to hit threes. And I feel like we check kind of every one of those boxes.
Yep.
I
would love for this to be is, okay, so last year we lost the Michigan State game, and then it was shaky because we didn't have Io, and he missed the Nebraska game, and then he also missed the Wisconsin game. And then we kind of had this, like, realization during Michigan of how good we are, and then we go to Ohio State and win, and then we just roll through Rutgers on Friday night, and then we beat Iowa soundly on Saturday, and then we beat Ohio State in overtime. And so we were on this, like, oh, my God, look how good we are. Like, we did that without Io. Now he's back. He's in a mask. We're going to kill everybody. I would like for the first game of the tournament this year to maybe be that Wisconsin win, you know.
Against Penn State.
Yeah. I want it to be like, oh, hey, maybe they're pretty good. And then, you know, like, what was the Michigan game last year is the second round of, like, oh, wow, they could be, you know, where that real role where we're all like, oh, this is the team that we thought they could be. I want to catch the beginning of that kind of streak and not the tail end, because it just seemed like, you know, even riding the thing the night before the Loyola game, and we had won, what, 15 of 16 at that point or whatever. It was just like, man, we've been on such a roll, and now the in-state team who really, really wants this, and I just, like, we're going to have a stinker at some point. I would love to just be starting that, wow, we can be really good thing as we get to the tournament. Like, okay, now it's all assembled. Bello's back in the lineup. Hawkins is out of his funk. Let's roll.
Yeah. I mean, I will say, if we do drop to a 5 seed, I would be terrified of having us as a 5 seed in the bracket.
Like they're just terrified of the 5-12.
I would be terrified if I were a fan of another team and I was stuck in the bracket that has Illinois as a 5.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
Because I don't think there would be a 5. I mean, even a 4 seed with like a higher ceiling than us.
Yeah. So if you are an Auburn fan, well, that has that'll bring everybody's brain to Bruce Pearl.
Yeah.
If you are, let's say, well, Kansas lost tonight. Are they going to be a 1?
Kansas lost to TCU.
If you're a Zags fan and you look at your bracket and Illinois is the 4, you're probably, oh, come on. Like, yeah. Over there, they get Tennessee, and we have to deal with Kofi Coburn. I would like to be that team. Although last year, God bless it, Carmen and I are walking around Indianapolis. Like, we go to the Drexel game, we're wearing Illini gear. It's a really kind of cool vibe that, you know, all the games are in the city, and you're just walking past fans of every team, and you're just rolling around and like, So we were strutting in our Illini gear because so many people would like, hey, I got you guys winning it all. Oh, you're damn right you do. You know, like, thank you. Please, everyone, Illinois fans coming through. Let's save your compliments for later. You know, we went to the Texas. No. West Virginia played Morehead State. And so it was the same thing. Like, we're making friends. They're like, oh, yeah, I got you guys in my bracket. Oh, thank you. Thank you. How about you guys? Oh, yes, thank you. You know, like, I enjoyed that celebrity. You're right. I would like to be the other side this year of, like, ooh, they're a little dangerous. Not I've picked them to win it all, but, oh, gosh. That's probably a 3 seed on the 5 line. That's, guy who can shoot.
The same way that we all talked about Loyola when they were an 8 seed. There's no way they should be seeded that. The committee wants a story. It's Illinois versus Loyola, and Loyola is the best 8 seed there could be. You know, or it's that type of thing.
Yes.
I want to be on the other side of that.
Yes. Okay, well, then I have to ask you this. Where is your satisfaction point? Is it get to the second weekend and then you're happy we've broken that 7-10-year curse, and if it's a 1-4 game or if it's a 2-3 game or whatever, you're pleased? Or do you need this team to be one of the 8 best teams in college basketball to truly be satisfied with the season?
So I think if you win the Big Ten tournament, I would say Sweet 16. If you don't, I would say Elite 8. And my reasoning for that is I think we're going to look back on this period of Io, Kofi, Trent, you know, all these wins under Underwood, most winning team in the Big Ten over 3 years, you know, all the stats that we've seen, and we're going to have a Big Ten tournament win to show for it.
I almost just said, don't say it, don't say it. But you're right. You're right. That's what's riding on this. Next year is a step back. It just is. It's going to be. I've accepted it. Everybody does it. It's fine. It's no big deal.
And I maybe Kofi comes back. I don't know. I mean, that's different conversation for a different day. But if you have Kofi and Io, and you have 2 legitimate National Player of the Year candidates, and you have them together, and then you have, you know, all these other pieces, and you've got, you know, people seeing Trent Frazier again, put him in the rafters and all this kind of stuff, and you have a Big Ten tournament, you know, you get the Big Ten tournament to show for it. That, to me, is complete underachievement. And I know, obviously, that there was a COVID year with the tournament, and so, you know, there are...
Yep.
You know, reasons and all of that, but at the same time, like, you're just gonna look back on this period and be like, no regular season Big Ten championships.
Yep.
And bowing out in the round of 32.
If we went out and Wisconsin wins Sunday, we would be 1 loss away. We'd 1 win each of the 3 years from going back to back to back. Like, we were a game out in 20, we were half a game out in 21, and a game out in 22.
Yep.
Yeah, that would be depressing. Now, I just don't want that to exist in the world. Here's where I would, where I think I would land my brain is I'm still like, I mean, it's what I tweeted very first thing when I woke up this morning. It's March. We are safely in the tournament and we're talking about seed. And I used to beg the gods for, please let Illinois basketball return, because my kids don't know what it means. And because, you know, like, I'm just running around. I'm that guy saying, no, 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 we're one of the top 15 programs in the country. No, 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 Illinois. Yes. One of the top 15 pro. Like, I ran around trying to, you know, I was called it like turn the machines back on. I did this for 15 years, basically, for, well, 07 to 19, 12 years. Of, yeah, saying like, no, 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 you don't understand. We're, they give 21 NCAA tournaments in 25 years, and it'll happen again. Just like some Michigan fan would have been in the 2000s. They didn't go to the tournament from 99 to 09. And, you know, there were some Michigan basketball fans saying, no, no, we won a title. You got to understand, we're good. You know, this is just an aberration. So because of that, and because this is the back moment, I still think I can rest on that. Like, it would be wildly disappointing tournament-wise. But I feel like I could still rest on, okay, we returned. This phase didn't work out, but there's a lot more to come. I think I could hang on to that to rub the balm on my wounds, because it would suck if that's the outcome.
Oh, and I'm not, yeah, and I'm in no way saying like I'm pissed off at Underwood or anything like that. I mean, he has resurrected this thing from the dead. My point, though, is just, I just don't want to look back on Trent, Io, and Kofi and not have, you know, a Sweet 16 or something like that.
Yep.
To point to.
Yep. Totally get it. Totally get it. Yeah. I was thinking the other day, like when thinking about Plummer, like I was making the point to someone that there was that article that came out. I don't remember who wrote it. That was the top 75 transfers in college basketball from the portal this year. And Plummer wasn't one of the 75. And you know, now he's at least a top 10 on that list as far as impact. At least top 10. And it just, it adds more to that Underwood identification fire. Like, yeah. I was watching highlights the other day because I was digging through to try to find stats. And when I was trying to do the every game that Brian Dorsey has worked at an Illinois game, and so I'm going back to the Michigan game in 2000, and there's Andres Feliz, and I'm like, man, like we were his only JUCO offer,
you know? Yeah.
And then like Plummer, we like, no, we found this in Grandison, and so it's like, I think at this point we can really say like he knows what he needs to win. Like he can identify RJ Melendez. He can identify he might be like a super skilled talent identifier. Like he might be, it makes me wonder like, wait, like if I talk to Frank Martin, he's like, oh God, yeah, we let him pick everybody we play, you know, and go talk to Huggins. Like, oh, I tried to get him on my staff. Cause like, are you kidding? He could figure out, he could look at the top 100 and say, okay, number 33 and number 68, they're going to be the best players. So that's the thing that has me, beyond anything else, the most excited. You know, Georgie, Alan Griffin, like these weren't top 100 recruits. He's just able to say, yeah, that guy's got something. You know, he talks about Ty Rogers, like, I don't care if he's ranked 58. I think he's on top 10 players in this class. And so, and I believe him at this point. Like, I'm like, hey, you've proven it time and time again over 5 years now. I think I'm in on that. I think I believe you.
Yeah. And I think he's also willing to move on from a player when it's time to move on. And I'm not like, not in favor of craning, but you know, he's however he does it, he can have the conversation, and you know, he's willing to move on when he needs to move on. And it led to a lot of turnover early, but like, you know, now you're starting to see that Brad Underwood roster.
Yep.
And then you got this class coming in next year that is just three of the most Brad Underwood guys you could find.
Yep. Yep. Okay. Well, we have to at least talk some football, right? Like football starts.
Yep. Absolutely.
In like 2 weeks, we can't.
I thought we were going to lead off with it. Right?
No, you always save football for last. Just generally give me your thoughts on the upcoming 1 year Tommy DeVito era at Illinois. What are your general thoughts on the DeVito transfer? And you can be honest.
Yeah. I thought they took him a little early. So I know people who work for Syracuse.
Okay.
And know Babers well. And I've just heard very like mixed reviews on DeVito. I think he's clearly got some talent, but it feels a little, I mean, it just feels a little bit like a slightly better Sitkowski in yeah. some ways.
Yep.
To where, you know, he had a shot to do it at a different school, didn't do it all that well, you know, highly recruited largely due to measurables, and you just kind of don't know what you're going to get. So, you know, I think him personally, we'll see, but, you know, overall, I don't know. I feel like we talked about this a little bit, I think at the end of the year last year. And like, I just think the floor of the 2022 team is so much higher than I initially thought it was.
Yep.
Which is going to be great. Yes. I can't take a ton, you know, it's going to be hard to take like three steps back, this year. And that would just be, it'd just be hard to swallow, I think. So, excited about that. Obviously very excited about the move they made, with Peterson and getting rid of him. I think I made my my thoughts on him pretty clear.
I believe
so. So I think and then obviously the continuity, I think, with the rest of the staff, because I think that's big as well. So I'm cautiously optimistic that, you know, they got a good D coordinator there. They got an offense coordinator in who's going to be able to get more out of some of the talent that they have. And then hopefully they can mold together an offensive line and, you know, try to get to six wins.
I would say that the biggest surprise to me this offseason is just so far the two transfers.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe, I think I went on the record saying I was guessing 12. I think I said 10 to 12. Because Carney, Gay, Perry, Hanson, Tolson, Kirby Joseph, Tony Adams, I thought they would go try, you know, like what Michigan State is doing or whatever. I thought they'd try and find three of the seven starters they need to find. Like, I thought they would find three of them in the portal, and they got a guy who's probably a backup nose tackle, and that's it for the defense. And the rest, you know, and then even Bielma's quotes of, yeah, we're a development program, and we don't really, you know, we'll do it when we have to, but we're going to try and develop. And so, you know, and I kind of see where they're going with that is that, you know, they came in, they brought everybody back, they expanded the walk-on program, they had 100, you know, they're sharing lockers in 120 locker room. It was the most players I've ever seen at training camp. It was like, how do you even have reps for guys when you have this many at some of these positions? And they've gone through that, and then they've added, you know, they'll take like walk-on linebacker Ryan Mead and say, okay, he's a guy I think we can use. So it's like they looked at 120 guys and said, and then after the season said, okay, here's our 60 or whatever, you know.
Yep.
And put some walk-ons on scholarship and this and that, and now they're just going to develop. So they picked through the 2020 class, and they came up with five guys left or whatever it is, four guys after Deuce left. And they said, okay, we're going to develop these four guys. And then they picked through the 19 class and the 21 class, and they found their guys, and like, okay, here's who we're going to go with. And, you know, thus far, one quarterback and one defensive tackle in the portal. So that kind of really surprised me, because I was figuring they would go heavy portal, and they just didn't.
How much of that do you think is a result of the performance from some of the transfers this year, or lack of performance?
It's a good point. Like, they tried an Eddie Smith, it didn't work, and, you know, why not just develop Keontae Curry instead, do you say?
Yeah. I mean, well, and I think, I mean, there's more than that even, you know, or just like looking at some of the guys that transferred in, like the Desmond Bands and some of those guys.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think it worked out as well as they would have liked. Well, obviously that was a Lovey take, but yep. You know, I don't know.
I believe Dan was the only half. I believe he was the only 0.5 cruise I've ever assigned. I believe that's the case.
You got that one right.
I didn't understand.
You didn't go
then.
Zero?
I don't. No, I did not. I just didn't. That one made the least sense. Maybe I just went one because I don't think I. Maybe I've never given out 0.5 because that's like, come on, that's insulting. But yeah, I'm just really surprised that they're not at least. Okay, let's think of a position here. So. Carney is gone. Gay is gone. So
I mean, what wide receiver?
Okay, yeah, wide. Yes.
At this
Donnie
point.
Leaves. Everybody else leaves. Yes. Why is there not some wide receiver from Virginia who's getting out because of the new scholarship or the new coach and doesn't know the guy and is looking for a spot? And he was the 5 receiver at Virginia last year, but could probably be our 2 receiver. Yeah, I'm very surprised that they didn't go to some of those spots and try to pick. And they after well, how many wide receivers enter the portal? 6? 7? 6.
Yeah, well, six I'm trying to think.
I mean,
yeah, Armstrong. I mean, Armstrong was another transfer from last year. Didn't work out. Sandy left.
Yep. Donnie left.
Donnie left. Campbell left.
Yep. Deuce left.
Deuce left. So
yeah, I thought
yeah,
especially when they lost that much, I thought they'd at least add one. But they love Sean Miller and thinking play right away. They love Pugh. They believe in some of their guys, I guess, and think these freshmen can contribute immediately.
I hope so. And wide receivers are probably a bad example of that just because you can play a little earlier there. You don't need to go, you know, find the redshirt junior from a different school to plug in at D-line or something like that. But right.
But if you, yeah, still, you look at defensive end with Carney and Gailey.
Yeah, yeah, you, yeah.
It's Seth Coleman at one end, and I hope Alec Bryant from Virginia Tech is good and ready.
Yeah.
Either yeah. that, it's Ezekiel Holmes, I guess.
Yeah.
In his fifth year, Ezekiel Holmes. Maybe they're going to make some adjustments, and you know they kept going with that Tolson kind of package where they would leave they would leave Perry on there with Newton and Randolph, and instead of having a defensive end over there, they'd bring like a third linebacker on to be that kind of rush end kind of guy. Maybe they're looking at that, and maybe it's like, oh, we got a package, we can cover that with this. So, yeah, I don't know, but it's surprising that they didn't say, look, it's either Bryant's good or Ezekiel Holmes is ready, or we just don't have a Carney this year. You know, I figured they would go out and say, okay, find us a transfer just in case these two guys don't work out. Because otherwise, I mean, there's no one else big enough unless they think Gabe Akas is ready as a true freshman to contribute. I don't know. Like it's just, I'm very surprised, but heck, they knew what they were doing last year and they found Kirby Joseph. So I should probably trust them.
Yep. That's kind of where I'm at now on current roster. Anyways, just benefit of the doubt, I guess, till they prove otherwise.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the other, like, you know, you got a lot of names at corner and even safety, but
yeah,
you know, with Kirby gone, okay, you know you have Quan Martin, you know you have Sidney Brown, but they ran 3 safeties all year, so who's the third? Is it Kendall Smith, maybe, I guess? Or, you know, you have all these freshmen that are on the roster right now, D.D. Snyder, Daniel Edwards, Keontae Curry, Tyler Strain, you know, maybe they have looked at those guys and said, okay, we're going to start Nicholson and Witherspoon, and these two freshmen are ready to be the backups. I don't know. Like, there's gonna be a lot of questions out there come spring ball here in 3 weeks.
Yep, looking forward to it.
Yeah. I think the biggest like off season news of the last few months for me is the schedule change. you know, taking Penn State off and putting Indiana on.
Indiana.
Getting rid of that Wisconsin, you know, Labor Day. Save that for later in the season, and you do Indiana on Labor Day instead. That's all big added bonus to me, because it gets really tough later on, and we didn't. What do we have? Michigan. So we did have Michigan, Michigan State, Penn State as our three crossovers, and now it's Michigan, Michigan State, Indiana. And
Indiana.
That's a lot more palatable.
Totally.
Yep.
Totally.
But overall, you're pretty encouraged toward, like, we were thinking 2022 would be this big cliff, and maybe it's just...
Oh, I thought it would... Yeah, I thought it was going to be a disaster. And I think at least with the defense now, we have, you know, reason for optimism there. Because they were playing a lot of young guys at the end of the year and playing really well. And then I go back to the offense could not have performed worse. Like, statistically, we should not, you know, if Lunny is just god-awful, his defense will, or his offense will be ranked basically at the same spot that we were ranked this past year. And so, to me, I am, you know, I kind of go back to that. You got a decent defense returning.
Yep.
And you got an offense. I mean, you can only go up on offense.
Yep. Yeah, I guess my thought is trying to figure out what, like, the thing I don't know going into the spring is what the offense is. You got Chase Brown. He had 1,000 yards last year. You start to think, okay, Chase, 1,300 yards. There's the first thing on the dry erase board at the first meeting is, okay, here's what we need to get that guy the ball. We've got a great 1-2 punch with McCray. Here's what we got to do. But then your thoughts go to the offensive line. And,
offensive line.
Okay. Yep. They didn't bring in a transfer like we thought they would. And they brought in two JUCO guys. Are they ready? Do we know who fills in? Is Jordan Slaughter ready after his surgery? Whatever. You know, there's just a lot of questions there. So if you don't have that offensive line, well, okay, now Chase isn't going to get those 1,300 yards. Now what? We turn to the passing game. Okay, you've got Williams, Casey Washington, and I guess Pat Bryant is maybe the third starting receiver. But you got a lot of questions there. And you don't you have questions at quarterback. So you probably do need to be a running team, which means it goes back to the offensive line. So, yeah, it's one of those, like I'm very curious what this offense will be. What we saw from Isaiah Williams in the Northwestern game, like I tweeted that like Morpheus thing from Matrix of like he's starting to believe. Like that was the game of like, oh wait, he's seeing what he can be right now, and he had, you know, like 120 yards or whatever and the touchdowns. And so, you know, we saw in that final game, okay, that guy can be a dynamic superstar. And yes, the answer is yes, he can be a wide receiver in the Big Ten. And so with that established, and then like, okay, well, we got that thing, and we got this Chase Brown, Josh McCray thing. Well, just figure out the line, and we can roll, and the quarterback. So that's the biggest thing for me this spring is like, okay, how are you going to make that work? How do you make Isaiah Williams work, and how do you make Chase Brown work? And that's going to take a quarterback, and it's going to take a line.
Yep. Our early prediction, DeVito Sitkowski, who starts in the fall.
I mean, I believe my last depth chart, I had Sitkowski. I changed it. I did two this spring. I was such a hedge guy. Like I put one of them, I put at Sitkowski, and then after DeVito's interview where he was like, Illinois, Big Ten football, baby. And as soon as he said that, I'm like, okay, DeVito, 4,100 yards, come on.
At a minimum, he's got the or there. Yes, yeah, on the chest chart.
You have no idea how many times I've listened to Illinois, Big Ten football, baby.
So he's your guy.
So, yes, I totally... Art is standing by the curb waiting for me to pick him up, and I just drove right past him, and I picked up Tommy DeVito, and we're going to go hang on a Friday night. But, I mean, I thought it was, like, Art probably got a bad rep for two reasons. One, the things were a mess with the offense at the beginning of the season, of like identity, and didn't have the run game established. And, you know, in Virginia, it's like, oh, hey, Art, we're down 28. Go scramble and try and throw for 400. And yeah. Then we learned that he had the shoulder socket issue and needed surgery, and they decided to put it off till after the season. And he was restricted to throws 30 yards and in after Nebraska or whatever it was. And so we learn all this other stuff, and it's like, okay, well, then that makes sense. We didn't see full bore Sitkowski. He still has the arm. Maybe we'll see it. So I'm, you know, I'm ever the optimist, so I can hang on to that. But then they did go get DeVito, and you know, this is... You know, this will be a battle. So I think we'll see both throughout the season. I think, you know, we saw that. I mean, everybody forgets that, like, we gave up on Peters after.
Totally.
You know, we gave up on Peters, and during the bye week, we switched to Sitkowski, even though he couldn't throw the deep ball. We switched to Sitkowski for Penn State, and then Peters won it back because Sitkowski broke his wrist or whatever in the Penn State game. So. You know, they showed they were willing to, all right, it's just not working. We're going to switch it up. I think that we might see that throughout the season, that both guys get a shot here and there to see what they can do. Are you yep. DeVito, or are you still hang on to Art?
I'm DeVito at this point.
Illinois.
That's right. Yeah. I was deeply moved by the hype video as well.
YouTube,
you're responsible for 9,000 of the 9,500 views on the thing, probably.
YouTube suggested to me today, like, some video just is like, Tommy DeVito goes off on Western Michigan. I'm like, yes, please. Thank you. So go to YouTube right now and just search for Tommy DeVito goes off Western Michigan if you want to see some highlights. Yeah, I mean, it's like overall, everything is just like the 4-5 finish in the Big Ten. The fact that you got the 5 wins, the blowing out Northwestern to get the hat, you know, the bounce back season after 2020 was supposed to be good and it was a disaster. You know, there's just good vibes. And that's, you know, it's been so long since most of the fan base had the same good vibes going into an off season. So it's just, it's fun to see.
Yep. Totally agree.
All right. One final question for you. I know you're a football recruiting guy. What were your thoughts on the class? Like, if Lovie had brought in this class, like, people would be pretty like, oh great, another 13th or 14th place or whatever. You know, it wasn't that bang out of the gate number 6 class in the Big Ten kind of thing. It was more, like he said, a developmental class, and, you know, the types of players they need to change the look of this program and all the stuff they've been saying. So what was your overall thought on this class?
Like a B- would be like my grade for it, probably. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, I like to see them making the efforts in Illinois and all of that kind of stuff. But like, at the end of the day, you got to get good players. And I think there were probably a few players that they might've reached on. A few situations where I probably would have gone transfer instead of high school player.
Yep.
But then, you know, I like the JUCO offensive lineman they got. I actually think like Anderson's going to be a stud at running back. I know you've talked about him potentially playing defensive. I think playing on
defense. Yes. I have defensive. I put everybody in defensive. I'm an idiot.
I think he sticks it at running back, and, like, you know, I think he is a Josh McCray type.
Yeah.
I love Hank Beatty. I love Hank Beatty for some reason. I don't know why, but I think he's going to be I think he's just going to be like one of those kids who's just good at football.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I mean, I think there are pieces there. I like the wide receiver class kind of overall.
Yeah.
So I think they've got pieces. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, I'm not sold on Leary as a quarterback.
Yep.
I probably would have taken another. I would probably would have taken the kid from Chicago who went to Northwestern.
Yeah.
And so it's just things like that where, you know, I feel like you almost need to see the, like we talked about with Underwood earlier, kind of like, do we give Bielema the benefit of the doubt on some of these guys?
Yeah.
You know, does he have that ability to kind of identify traits or talent or, you know, that kind of thing under the radar? But overall, I mean, I'd say for a first class, pretty solid, just given the track record of how Illinois football has been recently, you know, I think positive. And I like a lot of the kids that they took. I also think that a lot of the kids that they took actually had legitimate other Power Five interests, which is vastly different than what we were picking up.
Yeah.
Under Levy. So yeah. I think that's another kind of key difference.
Yep. Okay. Final question. Final question. This is going to be, I'm just going to put you on the spot. You have 3 seconds to answer. We're going back to basketball. You have to decide right now, how far does this team advance in the NCAA tournament? Your answer is?
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. I would probably say the same thing. Yes, if it wasn't for these lulls, I would say this is an Elite Eight team. But yep. These lulls, you just, you know, we're going to be up 11 in some game and everybody's going to be thinking about it. Like, it's just like, don't yep. let that thing happen again. So
it's going to be some 16-5 run that.
Yep.
In the second half of some game that's going to bury us. I mean, that's my fear.
Yep.
And so.
Yep. Well, I can't wait to play this clip when we win the national title. And
I hope, man. I had such high expectations last year, so I'm hedging my bets this year.
Yep. Yep. All right, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks for joining. We'll talk soon.
Yep. All right. See ya.